Finacle presents Same Old Shit, a Different Agency.
Hi, welcome to Clinicals, a Same Old Shit, a Different Agency. I'm Chris Wright and I'm here with my very good friend Nick Burrows. Nick, how are things with you at the moment?
I'm good, Chris. How are you?
Yeah, I'm not too bad. I've been enjoying... is this the summer we're having? I don't know.
This is called a Yorkshire summer.
Oh, yeah. No.
So it's perhaps a bit different to the ones you're used to.
Absolutely. I've looked at the weather forecast and cricket again doesn't look very special down in Norfolk over the weekend. But there you go. What's been happening with you this week?
Well, I met a couple of agency leaders actually this week, and actually two different circumstances where one had just won a major pitch, which is great news for them, and they're looking at how to onboard it. And then another one who went for a pitch and didn't win, and is having to pick the team up afterwards and all the things that go on with that, which kind of led me to, I guess, the topic that I'd like to talk to you about today, which is the decision-making process when it comes to pitching.
Okay, so... when you say the decision-making process, I guess what we really need to look at there is when to choose to pitch, and most importantly, perhaps, may I suggest, when to make the decision not to pitch.
Absolutely. So, yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. So, should we head on into it?
Absolutely. So, are we really going to sit here and discuss all the barriers that you would put up to not going for a piece of business, which to some people might seem absolutely stupid because what you're after is the opportunity you've been begging for to go for new business. And yet we're suggesting, or are you suggesting, that we put up barriers in a way to ascertain whether we should say no?
Simple answer is that is yes.
Okay.
Okay. So, first of all the barriers. We're not going to talk about all the barriers because that would take me all day. But what I'm suggesting is that there is a funnel of decisions. And I think later on, perhaps we should talk about a decision-making process. But perhaps now I can talk about just some examples of the types of things that could happen that may... influence your decision as to whether or not you would go for a piece of new business. Let me start by an example. So, great news, you're working for an agency, you're in the business development team, and a client knocks on the door and says, we'd like you to pitch. The first thing I think you do is you start asking questions about that. You know, you don't just go, brilliant. You go, well, let's find out. So I think a classic example of this is, obviously you're going to find out about the brief itself, but what is the nature of the brief? Is it an RFI, so request for information? Is it a request for a proposal? If it's an RFI, okay, so how big a deal is it to fill that RFI in? I've worked in agencies where you've got a huge amount of information to fill in. Sometimes it's very generic information. Sometimes it's incredibly detailed. You need to know more about what the opportunity is if you're filling that information in, because it takes a long time to fill in just generally. So there's a time issue and a prize issue, and we'll talk about prize perhaps later on. But what about this simple thing? Okay, you find out that 20 agencies are going to pitch for a piece of work.
That seems quite a lot to me.
That's a red flag. It's what I call a red flag, because I'm going, wow, you know, I've got the face of it, I've got a 5% chance of winning that business. Now, there are other things that are impact on that. And just because there are 20 agencies going for something doesn't mean you shouldn't. But it certainly means that you should seriously start asking some other questions.
I think it certainly puts focus on the risk when you talk about investment. And you're right. I guess there are other things and other areas within that would determine whether you'd still carry on with the process at that point. For instance, if you're the incumbent.
Absolutely. So if you're the incumbent, you know the client, hopefully you've got a good working relationship there. Hopefully you've produced some good work. So you'd pretty much expect that actually, if that's a 2-3 round process, that you're going to get to the third round, hopefully. And so there's a good reason why you might want to go to it. You might actually be a bit peeved as to going through the process in the first place. You might think, actually, this is a procurement exercise for them to procure you down on price. And actually, conversely, if I'm one of the 20 agencies, I'm thinking, why are they going to 20 agencies? I mean, you can find a lot more out about agencies than just going through an RFI, just by doing the work yourself. And why are you looking at 20 agencies? That just seems way too high for me. So that would be a red flag. And I'm sure you can come up with other examples of red flags.
Well, what you seem to indicating in this is, as you're going through this process, decision-making process, to decide whether you invest your time in there, you are getting as much information, i.e. you're asking as many questions as you can to make a discriminating decision about your investment in time. What other questions are you looking for in going through this process?
Well, I think a classic one here is the size of the prize. Because again, that affects how much investment you should put into winning that piece of new business. So if the prize is huge, then your investment is going to be higher. Yeah, I've seen agencies put a huge amount of time into something where actually the prize is really small. And I'll give you an example of that. Going to a pitch process where actually you're actually pitching to go on a roster, right?
To me, that's always a red flag as well. But we'll come on to the size of the prize a little bit more later on. Okay, so we've looked at a Q&A section where we're trying to gather as much information for the decision-making process. And I consider that to be the client side. That's the sort of outward-looking. But what about inward-looking? What about focus from an agency perspective? Is there a journey to go on to say, is this the right piece of business for us?
Absolutely. And again, if I'm honest, I think this is where a lot of agencies don't get it quite right. And there's good reasons why people make that, what I would class as a mistake. The reality is, you know, there are commercial reasons just on a finance level. You know, you want to feed the machine. You know, you want to pay people. You don't want to make people redundant. You want to make your number and all those kind of things. But the challenge is it the right piece of work for you, not just in the short term, but also in the long term? So I would say, okay, so what is your strategy? And when I come to strategy, we're talking about how are you as an agency going to win? How are you going to grow and develop? And that requires focus. So it might be with regard to a specific type of client. It might be with regard to a specific discipline. So does that opportunity meet the kind of client that you want to work with? Does it meet the kind of discipline that you want to do? It might be a discipline that you can do, yeah, but it's not your focal point. It might be a discipline that actually you can't do it, but the prize is really big and you go, do you know what, let's wing it, win it, and then work out what we want to do. I don't necessarily think that's always the best thing to do. There are times when that can be appropriate, right?
Well, what you're talking about there is say yes and work out how to do it afterwards, something that gets battered around quite a lot as a quotation in social media. But What I'm concerned about there is actually, is it good to do that if it takes you away from your focus? What are these circumstances that would say to you, yes, it's still a good reason to go for that?
Yeah, and I think sort of, you know, quoting other people, wasn't it Steve Jobs that said focus is giving up something you're passionate about?
Absolutely. But I've always struggled with that area of not doing something that comes naturally to you as a business, because I think you feel like you're treading up water, swimming at water. And where I struggle with it is if you're investing and you're focusing on that, if somebody then comes and knocks on your door and says, I've got this opportunity, what do you do? Do you stop investing in that particular?
Absolutely, because actually, you know, your strategy was to win this kind of client and do this kind of work, and actually you're no longer set up to do that. You're actually doing something else. And all, equally, I think this is where you sometimes have to think about your people as well. You know, you have invested in your people to have a certain amount of skill set, and then you are potentially putting them in a very uncomfortable position. And I'm not talking about just a little bit uncomfortable. I'm talking about a very uncomfortable position about doing something that's not within their skill set. That adds a layer of stress to those people. So an example would be, okay, so you're a PR expert and you've worked PR your whole career, and then actually you've pitched and won a piece of experiential. Okay, there's some similar skill sets there, but there's actually a lot that's very, very different, and that could put some pressure and stress on people. And again, it doesn't necessarily fit your strategy, so you're potentially giving up the opportunity of winning actually something that's at your core and that you're very good at.
Yeah, I think you're touching in an area there where I look at values as well. So what if the piece of business that you're going after, for instance, conflicts or maybe is on the fringes of maybe ethics or core values, such as the tobacco industry, as an example. Does that form part of the
decision? It certainly does, and I've actually been in that circumstance before. And I think it's a really interesting one. And I think that what you have to weigh up sometimes is this idea of a strategic opportunity and a tactical opportunity. And let's be honest, there are times when a tactical opportunity is right to go for. And that could be financial, yeah? But I think it's really important to be honest with yourselves and honest with the rest of the company that you're going for that opportunity for the right reasons.
Okay, I get that. Right. Now let's look at an actual mechanism that we've both experienced. So what we're really looking here at is successfully growing businesses. And in our experience, the most successful businesses are the agencies that have the ability to say no.
Yeah, yes. Conversely.
Absolutely. And so where we've seen this in our own experiences is to go through a mechanism that gives them a fair opportunity to discuss the opportunity in saying yes or no.
Yeah, a mechanism, a process that allows them to make an informed decision. And that process can develop. It can evolve over time, and it probably should evolve over time. But you have one to make sure that every bit of business that comes in through or opportunity that comes through the door channels through that process.
Absolutely. So let's look at a few examples that we've experienced.
So I think one interesting element is fame. So you get an opportunity. Is it going to make you famous? Is it going to be that client that everyone else looks to and goes, wow, they work with X? Conversely, or ironically, or whatever, it doesn't always make commercial sense.
No, actually, in my experience, a lot of the famous ones don't make quite the commercial sense that you would want them to, and often they use that against you. You know, you want to work for our piece of business because we will make you famous. So therefore, commercially, you're going to have to compromise a little bit in your rate cards or whatever it might look like. But if it then leads to awards,
yeah,
if it then leads,
which can be a criterion itself.
Of course, it can. If that those awards are, or the fact that you've got this client on your credentials leads to other business with other clients of a similar standing, then that's got to be a good thing as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So I know of numerous agencies that have worked with a particular client, and that is that client that brings other clients on board. And so that's when you say, actually, do you know what? It's worth going for this one, even though perhaps it doesn't make commercial sense.
I've also seen that the clients that make you famous through natural PR, you start to attract the attention of some very good talent out there that may not have considered working for you in the first place.
Which is another criteria in itself, actually. So we've already named two there, yeah. Three. So you've got the fame, you've got awards, because actually, do you know what, whether people like it or not, and that's another podcast, mm-hmm. yeah, awards are important. Also, attracting talent is important. And so sometimes you might want to go for a particular project or client because actually that is going to attract talent to your agency. Equally, you might want to go for a project and a client because actually it will be motivational to your existing staff.
Of course. So let's look at perhaps a less obvious one. We talked about the prize earlier. But sometimes it's looking at short-term and long-term opportunities. If something's repeatable year after year after year, it's something that maybe can grow, even though the short-term prize is maybe smaller. That, again, is a very familiar criteria.
That's a massive criteria. I mean, if you can win a piece of work that you think, okay, do you know what? I'm going to get a 3-year contract out of this. That is going to give you financial stability in a certain part of your business. That's incredibly worthwhile. So a great criteria. Any others that come to mind straight away?
I think another one would be seasonality. If the opportunity fits into a seasonality gap when you're utilising your resources in a better way for an efficiency perspective, it might not be commercially as good as some of your other projects, but at the same time, it makes you more profitable overall. So seasonality is a really key one for me.
And let's be honest, there is another criteria which is key, which is finance. Okay, so
always
one that is commercially worthwhile doing. But also there are the ones that, you know, potentially you shouldn't be doing, which also come into that matter.
And we didn't even talk about investment, but there you go.
Wow.
So we've looked at the Q&A part, what you would look outward focusing when an opportunity is presented to you. You've then looked and assessed internally about how that fits in. You've done Q&A, if you like, looked in the mirror of the agency itself. You've got to have a mechanism. If you haven't got one, you've then got to look at what is the discriminating process that you will go through in order to get to a decision. And the most important thing, the most important takeaway for me is the successful growing agencies have the ability to say no. They do not try to be everything to everybody. They understand themselves, what they're good at, and therefore they're more successful as a result of that focus. So how was that for you, Nick?
Yeah, no, I really enjoyed that. I think we came up with some good points, and hopefully for the listener, there's just some key takeouts for them. I think we could have talked for a couple of hours on it, but...
Yeah, I'd say that was quite a short and sweet one, but... your point is quite a relevant one. You could really get into some quite detail there, and maybe that doesn't suit a podcast for the listener. So great.
Excellent. Okay. Look forward to the next one. Cheers.
Bye.
Well, thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed the episode. Tune in next week for more same old shit, a different agency.